Hello, this is Sharon. Welcome to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. As always, we'll begin our reading on the front page of the paper. Downtown Bloomington, get your tents on Route 66. Local artist and graphic designer T. Trasham, who works under the company name Noble Stabbings, worked on a Route 66-themed chalk sidewalk mural on Monday outside the McLean County Museum of History in downtown Bloomington. These murals trace the iconic Route 66 path on the sidewalks between the Bloomington Public Library and the museum. The library will host a free Route 66-themed sidewalk mural celebration on June 13th. Activities will include scavenger hunts, stickers, and coloring books for all ages. Town Council, Normal bans Kratom sales, weighs dangers and benefits. The Normal Town Council on Monday unanimously approved a ban on the sale and distribution of Kratom products within town limits after residents spoke both in favor of and against the herbal mood-altering substance. The ordinance makes it unlawful for anyone to sell knowingly, offer for sale, distribute, or furnish Kratom or Kratom products in Normal beginning on July 15th. Violators could face fines of $100 to $750 per day, and the town could suspend or revoke a vendor's business license. The town also could pursue legal action to stop violations. The ban does not prohibit possession or use of Kratom. Kratom is an herbal extract derived from the Mitragyna speciosa, excuse my pronunciation, tree, which is native to Southeast Asia, according to council documents. Kratom can produce intoxicating effects similar to opioids and other drugs with mild stimulant effects at small doses, opioid-like effects at moderate to high doses, and sedative effects at very high doses, according to the council documents. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not approved any prescription or over-the-counter drug products containing Kratom and has warned consumers not to use it because of risks that include liver toxicity, seizures, and substance use disorder. According to council documents, Kratom is often sold over-the-counter in gas stations, convenience stores, and similar retail outlets. While Illinois law prohibits sales to people younger than 18, there are no other state regulations on Kratom sales. The Bloomington City Council prohibited possession and sale of Kratom in January. Normal officials had been waiting to see whether the Illinois General Assembly, which adjourned its session Monday, would act on several related bills. Several residents addressed the council before the vote. Cindy Charbois, a Normal resident, opposed the ban and said Kratom has helped her and her husband manage pain. She said she used Kratom before and after knee and hip replacement surgeries and said it helped her get off prescription painkillers. Kratom has been wonderful for me and my husband, Charbois said. Charbois said the town should pursue regulation rather than an outright ban and pointed to proposed state legislation that would restrict certain Kratom products, including those with higher levels of one of the active ingredients, synthetic compounds, or packaging marketed towards children. If the town of Normal Council wants to make Kratom safer, how about copying this bill, Charbois said. After the meeting, she said, and her husband, Victor Condor, said, they buy Kratom online from a source that posts independent testing information rather than buying their products from gas stations. She also said the July 15th effective date does not give retailers enough time to prepare. Connor, also a normal resident, told the council he began using Kratom after a serious back injury and said prescription narcotics did not work well for him. He said he uses Kratom only occasionally when arthritis pain flares up. The Kratom, when I take it, it's just like 50 cents worth of Kratom, Connor said. In about 30 to 40 minutes, my back pain greatly alleviates. Other speakers urged the council to act. Sarah McManus, a longtime normal resident, said someone close to her became addicted to what she described as a synthetic or enhanced Kratom product. She said she provided council members with photos of products sold in bright, candy-like flavors and packaging. This is extremely dangerous, and I can't even believe that it's sold over the counter, McManus said. McManus said there is a difference between ground Kratom leaf and products marketed as Hydroxy 7 or 7-OH, which she described as much stronger and more dangerous. Michael Dion, a normal resident, also supported the ban. He said Kratom remains largely unregulated and should not be treated as a substitute for prescribed pain relief. We shouldn't be getting prescription pain relief or a substitute for prescription pain relief from the gas station, Dion said. This is how addiction happens, and this is how addiction continues. Council members and town staff members said the lack of regulation and uncertainty over product contents made it difficult to craft a narrower local ordinance. Council member Scott Preston asked whether the town could distinguish between natural Kratom leaf and enhanced or synthetic products, a question also raised by residents during public comments. Assistant City Manager Brian Day said staff looked at that possibility but did not see a practical way for the town to enforce such a distinction. He said two alkaloids, mitragynine and the 7-hydroxy-9, occur naturally in Kratom, but products can be enhanced or altered to contain more of a certain compound. There would be no way to tell whether it was 2% or more without testing, Day said, adding that the town does not have a practical enforcement path for that kind of product-by-product regulation. Council member Kathleen Lorenz asked whether police or fire officials could speak to the prevalence of Kratom-related calls in Normal. Day said the town did not have broad local data and that reports are largely anecdotal, in part because Kratom is not typically included in standard forensic toxicology testing. City Manager Pam Reese said police or fire call data did not drive the proposal. What drove this to be on your agenda this evening is the variety of comments we've had, Reese said, adding public comments, emails, and requests from council members, and Bloomington's action brought the issue forward. Council member Karen Smith said the town would be taking on the responsibility of testing product contents if it tried to regulate certain forms differently. If the state that has more resources than we do doesn't feel that they're ready to make a distinction, I think we come back to either we ban it or we don't ban it, Smith said. Smith said she wrestled with the issue because of the history of marijuana criminalization, but said Normal's ordinance is limited to sales. There is no penalty assessed against anyone who holds it or uses it, Smith said. What we're really saying is that you just cannot purchase it here in Normal. Councilmember Kevin McCarthy also emphasized that point, saying the ordinance targets sales and distribution, not people who use Kratom and obtain it elsewhere. McCarthy said he talked with local medical professionals before the meeting and was concerned by reports of withdrawal-like and addiction-like symptoms connected to Kratom. He also said comparing Kratom's risks with more widely used substances can be misleading because Kratom use is far less common. Mayor Chris Coos said the ordinance was a more cautious approach than Bloomington's and was not as strong as that city's ban of both sale and possession. He said council members had heard from people who said Kratom helped them and from others who described serious harm. I think it's the right choice to take a conservative approach to this, Coos said. Councilmember Rory Roberg said he supported the ordinance because of concerns over product safety, withdrawal symptoms, and the inability to determine what is in Kratom products without independent lab testing. Bloomington, data center, tax, rights, votes, backed. More than 100 residents of the city of Bloomington Township voted in favor of non-binding referendums related to ending the city's 1% grocery tax, prohibiting data centers, and opposing U.S. weapon sales to countries that violate human rights. During a special meeting on Monday, registered voters within the township decided the three advisory referendums would appear on the November 3rd midterm election ballot. The referendums, which would be advisory only, now need to be certified by the City of Bloomington Township Board of Trustees before they're added to the ballot. The grocery tax. One referendum, which resulted from a petition by resident Caleb Sneddon, asked whether the city of Bloomington should repeal its 1% grocery tax to provide relief for families. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed legislation in 2024 to eliminate the state version of the tax, effective January 1, 2026. However, home rural municipalities were given the option to levy their own tax to replace it with their own. Last September, the City Council voted to maintain the grocery tax, which is estimated to generate about $3 million annually. Based on average household size, the city staff estimated that it would have a financial impact of about $7.90 a month per Bloomington resident. A month later, the council voted to earmark this revenue for infrastructure needs and projects identified through the city's annual budget process. This could include maintenance and improvements to the city's roadways, sidewalk improvements, or capital projects. Sneddon said the tax was regressive, and with all of the hardships people are experiencing due to gas and housing prices, now is the time to relieve some of that burden. Alderwoman Molly Ward, who voted against the grocery tax, said during Monday's meeting that if residents really want to make a difference, they should come to a council meeting, look their alderman or alderwoman in the eye if they voted for the grocery tax, and tell them to change the way they voted. Members of the city council also serve as trustees on the township board. Residents voted 107-4 in favor of putting that question on the ballot. Data centers. Township residents also were asked whether the city should impose a moratorium on the creation of any large-scale data centers. Although the Bloomington City Council voted to impose a six-month moratorium on large-scale data centers last month to allow time for the city staff to draft regulations and restrictions, petitioner Sonny Garcia said that moratorium would end near election time and could free up council members to move forward on a data center proposal in 2027. Residents at the meeting unanimously voted in favor of this non-binding referendum. Weapons and rights. A third referendum proposal asked whether the U.S. federal government should ban the transfer of weapons to any country that is a dictatorship, apartheid state, or major violator of human rights. Although some residents questioned the ambiguity of the language and the overall impact of the measure, the referendum advanced by a 94-15 vote. These three referendums now need to be certified by the City of Bloomington Township Board of Trustees before they will be added to the ballot. Today's Flick Fact Question. Social media constantly tells us Illinois residents are fleeing the tax-heavy state. But is Illinois actually shrinking? And what about Bloomington Normal? According to the U.S. Census, Illinois is still growing, slowly. The state added about 16,100 residents over the past year. Meanwhile, Bloomington's population is estimated at 79,502, growing annually at about 0.17%, while Normal is now estimated at 53,444 residents, growing about 0.13% annually. Meanwhile, the broader McLean County area continues ranking among the faster-growing regions in Illinois. Armington man dies in motorcycle crash. An Armington man has been identified after a fatal crash reported over the weekend in Mackinac. At 6:18 p.m. on Saturday, authorities were alerted to a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of State Route 9 and Leopold Street in Mackinac. The crash involved a pickup truck and a motorcycle. In a statement on Monday, Tazewell County Coroner Charles Haney identified the motorcyclist as Jeffrey Foster, 62. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Preliminary autopsy results indicate he died of multiple blunt force injuries from the crash. Foster was not driving with a passenger on the motorcycle, and no other injuries were reported. The crash remains under investigation by the Tazewell County Sheriff's and Coroner's Offices and the Illinois State Police. The Mackinac Police Department, Mackinac Fire Protection District, Mackinac Rescue Squad, and Menier Police Department all assisted at the scene, the coroner said. Normal, town okays enterprise zone update. 174 Bloomington acres proposed for economic development incentives. The Normal Town Council has approved a boundary change to the Bloomington Normal Enterprise Zone economic development tool, though none of the newly added property is within the town's limits. The amendment adds about 174 acres in Bloomington to the economic development zone, according to council documents. The additions include properties near Jumer Drive, Tawanda Avenue, Leslie Drive, Six Points Road, South Morris Road, and Tullamore Avenue. The additions increase the zone from 16.889 square miles to 17.16 square miles. The council voted unanimously Monday to approve the ordinance. The change requires approval from Bloomington, Normal, Gibson City, and McLean and Ford counties because they are all part of the zone. During the brief discussion, City Manager Pam Reese said Normal was the second of five government bodies expected to consider the change. The ordinance also remains subject to approval by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Enterprise zones are intended to encourage business growth and community revitalization through state and local tax incentives. According to council documents, businesses in the zone may qualify for incentives such as sales tax exemptions on building materials, utility tax exemptions, investment tax credits, and property tax abatements if approved by local taxing bodies. The Bloomington Normal McLean County Enterprise Zone was first created in 1984 to help attract Diamond Star Motors to West Normal. The original zone expired in 2016, and a new zone was certified by the state in 2017. It has since been amended multiple times to support developments in McLean and Ford counties. The president of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council serves as the zone administrator, according to council documents. The Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council held a public hearing on the proposed changes on April 30th, and the Bloomington City Council approved the modification on May 26th. The council also approved an annual agreement with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission for technical planning services. Under the agreement, the town will pay the commission $54,000 for services from July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. According to council documents, the amount is the same as the town's agreement for the previous fiscal year. The commission has provided long-range planning services to the town for more than four decades, and its work for the town includes assistance with comprehensive plan updates, zoning and subdivision regulation, transportation planning, public data dashboards, funding applications, and regional housing work. The agreement also supports the town's participation in the Bloomington Normal Metropolitan Planning Process, which is required for the allocation of federal transportation funding to local transportation projects. In addition, the town presented the Harmon Arts Grant Awards to 31 recipients before the regular council meeting. The grant was created in 1993 to promote the arts in the community in honor of former Mayor Paul Harmon. A total of about $50,000 was awarded to the recipients. Olympia Ready to Build. Olympia High School welcomed dozens of faculty, alumni, and other supporters for an official groundbreaking ceremony Monday for a highly anticipated $15 million campus expansion in rural Stanford. The new 30,500-square-foot addition will include a multi-purpose facility that will support a wide variety of student and community activities, a new weight room and training center, a new unit office for administrative staff in the front of the building, and three new classrooms dedicated to agriculture and FFA classes offered by the district. Laura O'Donnell, superintendent of Olympia Schools, said two of the classrooms will be reserved for the district's expanding agriculture program, and the third will be a clinical classroom used as demonstration space for animal science and pre-veterinary coursework that could be coming in the future. Olympia currently offers multiple dual credit agriculture courses in partnership with Heartland Community College. We added this middle school ag program 3 years ago, and our ag teacher has not had her own classroom. So she's been teaching ag on a cart, and she's been rotating to open classroom spaces throughout the day, O'Donnell said. This will give her a dedicated space for our middle school ag program, and I'm assuming some of our high school ag program courses will also be taught out there. O'Donnell added that the field house concept has been discussed for the past 2 decades. When Olympia Middle School was added to the district's rural Stanford campus, another gymnasium was added, which meant almost 900 students were sharing 2 gyms. Therefore, kids participating in sports during the winter months were sent by bus to one of the district's elementary schools, which is not only costly, but also reduces practice time, the superintendent said. We also did not have a dedicated space for middle school wrestling, O'Donnell said. They can't wrestle or practice in the same space that high school does, so there are some programs that will definitely have their own space now as a result of this addition. These additions were made possible by 2 referendums in 2024 and 2025. In 2024, district voters approved increasing the tax rates of Olympia's education fund and operations and maintenance funds. The district referred to this change as a tax swap, since it would be reducing the tax rate tied to other specific areas, including debt-related funds and funds that have built up a reserve. In doing so, the district's overall tax rate was expected to remain flat. Olympia was also able to take advantage of the 1% McLean County facility sales tax approved by McLean County voters last year. O'Donnell said the majority of the work is estimated to be finished by August of 2027. Tracy Coker, principal and director of interior design for Dewberry Architects, said the school was built in 1972 and it needs a tremendous amount of maintenance. Therefore, it took a while for the district to be in a position financially to make these projects possible. There's just a lot of logistics that go into making sure these kids have space after school, she said. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. I hope you'll stay tuned.